This is 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio, and you've tuned into Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Jim Healy, and every week for 25 weeks, we'll be talking to two representatives a night, one from each of the 50 states in the United States, folks who were born and raised ideally, or at least brought up in one place and have found themselves now here living in this community up in North Idaho. And today we are talking to a representative of the Aloha State.
That's right. It is the Aloha State.
A home to almost 1.5 million people. The 50th state in the union, one of only a couple that many people will actually remember being admitted to the union. It became the 50th state on August 21st, 1959, the state of Hawaii. And we're here with Dino Wall. Hi, Dino. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks, Jack. And thanks, Jim. I appreciate you being here. And I want you to practice saying Hawaii with the glottal stop. Hawaii.
Well, let's start right there, Dino. That seems to be a recent, drawing attention to, because it's been Hawaii, but now it's Hawaii.
Those of us from Hawaii have always said
That way.
But it's weird. A lot of us from Hawaii don't necessarily pronounce the neighbor islands that way. Like, you know, really the real Hawaiian way to say Kauai or Molokai or, you know, Maui and Hawaii, the big island, and Lanai. But a lot of us grew up just saying Lanai, Kauai, Molokai, you know,
but
Maui.
All of them have the
But
the,
Hawaii, they do. They actually do. But Hawaii is really the one that you can tell if somebody's from Hawaii if they say it that way.
Okay. Now, how many islands make up Hawaii?
Well, there are 8 of them, but not all of them are inhabited, I should say, too. One of them is the Big Island, of course, which is the island of Hawaii. And then that's the one with the active volcanoes.
Right,
And
the
then,
lava,
yes, thingies. And then going up the chain, there's Ko'olawe. And that actually, nobody lives there. There's no real source of fresh water there. But the military used that as kind of a bombing, you know, area in, you know, the World War II, pre and post World War II. Then there's Maui is right there. And then you've got Molokai and Lanai. And those 3 islands are all part of Maui County. And each island is its own county and almost its own state in and of itself. Then there's Oahu, and Oahu is the main gathering place. There's Kauai. Mm-hmm. And then there's Niihau, which it is owned by the Robinson family, and only Native Hawaiians can live there.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
So only one of the islands, it does not have fresh water.
That's true.
Okay, yep. And that would limit population.
Exactly.
And you were born on?
I was born on Oahu.
Okay, and how long did you live in Oahu?
Well, I lived there through when I went to college. I went to school on the mainland, as many people do, but I would always return home, you know, for summers and Christmases and breaks and so forth. And then I married a Norwegian ski racer and moved to Norway, but, you know.
There's a story there.
Yeah, there is. But my folks, you know, were still there, so I would always, you know, go. I still consider Hawaii home. Like when I say, I'm going home, you know, just like you probably. When you're going back to where you're from, you say, I'm going home, you know, to visit family and friends. And so
I'd be sort of curious, Dino. I mean, Jack and I have been on the mainland and we have thoughts of Hawaii, you know, the palm trees, the waves gently washing and things like that. What was it growing up as a child, your thoughts reversed of the mainland?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, we looked forward to coming to the mainland. I mean, we did. You know, and I had relatives on the mainland up in the Pacific Northwest in Washington. So we would usually go up there in August, and we would just be fascinated by just the different smells and the fact that everybody was wearing tennis shoes and, you know, just we got to go to big baseball game, went to saw the Mariners and, you know, when we were kids and all of that good stuff. You know, it was a whole different world. And there were places like, we'd take our bikes to ride bikes with my cousins to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. You know, there were things like that, you know. But we didn't feel hemmed in, though, by a lot of people who live on islands that haven't grown up on islands feel cabin fever. But if you are from an island, you mm-hmm. have the opposite effect. I have found that I've talked to other people who grew up on islands. It's like the water actually gives you an expansive feeling. And if you can't see the water, then you feel like landlocked. It's like an opposite feeling. Like I'll never forget the first time I was in LA and we were driving around, and in Hawaii, you always know which direction is Mauka to the mountains or Makai to the to the ocean. And to be in the middle of a city and have no reference to where you are, you know, kind of north, south, east, or west, it's a different feeling for people that are from the islands. Huh. Yeah.
Are you from Honolulu?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. And that's where I think most people who are from Hawaii are from. Honolulu.
About, I would say 8/10 of, you know, 80% of the population is on Oahu. And, yeah. You know, even in the old days, you know, some people may have been watching that show Chief of War, and it talks about how each island was actually its own kingdom. Hmm. But Oahu was the hardest to bring down because it is naturally a defensible place. It has Pearl Harbor, has all the mountains, two different mountain ranges. You know, so it's always been a place that has been very desirable, you know, as far as places to conquer or to base your you know, whatever your kingdom or your state is. You know, that's why the I think the Americans were attracted to it, was because of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were your folks from originally?
My folks are originally from Washington State. They actually are Cougs.
Oh, go away.
Yeah, go Cougs. They went to Washington State, and this is kind of a fun story because my dad had an ROTC scholarship, so he had to do 4 years in the Army after he graduated, and they were stationed in the Philippines, and so on the way back to the mainland, they would stop in Hawaii, and my dad was a journalist, and my mom was a teacher, and he wasn't going to be a career military guy, you know, so they decided, hey, let's move to Hawaii. And they got three other couples from their college years, and these four couples all moved to Hawaii in like 1956. That was before it was even
before
a state.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty exciting time to be there. And so three of those four couples stayed there and raised kids. But my mom's mom thought they were crazy. She was like, "What's going on, Janine? Are you going to live in a grass shack or something?" She was totally not. She was ignorant as to what was going on over there. But it was a beautiful time to live in Hawaii. And I enjoyed growing up there. I was born in 1963.
Can you talk more about growing up there? What, you know, when I think of growing up in Hawaii, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about, you know, what was it like to grow up on an island surrounded by the ocean?
Oh, it was fantastic.
What would be some of the things you did growing up?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't think there was ever a week where I wasn't in the ocean, like a stretch of 5 to 7 days where we weren't, you know, you could be in the ocean all the time. I'm still a fish. That's why I love Sandpoint so much, is because I can be in the water. It's like, I think if you grow up in a place like Hawaii, you become a water person. You just are, you know, so, you know, I don't remember learning how to swim. I think every kid in Hawaii just learned. Yeah. And surfing, body surfing, snorkeling. I lived on the southeastern tip of Oahu, and about maybe a half a mile from Hanama Bay, which is a really famous place to go snorkel. And in those days, we would just put our snorkels, you know, and masks on our bike handlebars and just like ride our bikes up the road and go snorkeling. Just, you know, oh, let's do that this afternoon, you know, and then also hiking, you know, a lot of hiking. My family was really into hiking, and it was interesting because we would come to the Pacific Northwest and do these big 5 to 7 day trips, backpacking trips. Mm-hmm. My dad would spend all year planning them, and we would train by, you know, by hiking these beautiful, you know, we'd go up hiking pretty much much once a week. And my family also did other outdoor sports. Like we were a big tennis family. You could play tennis 52 weeks a year. You know, mm-hmm. outside. And
you didn't have to shovel the courts.
No. And, you know, I played soccer and ran track and danced. And dancing is one thing that was my earliest probably conscious immersion of Hawaiian culture because somehow my mom got me into Nona Beamer's hula troupe.
Nona Beamer.
Okay. The Beamer family is like, you know, I mean, they're like, you know how the Marsalis family is mm-hmm. like New Orleans, jazz mm-hmm. and this. And what is that other famous? I can't remember the name is going out of my head right now. Down in New Orleans, that's a
famous, the Neville brothers.
Okay, so that's
they're
like
everywhere.
That's
yeah.
like the mm-hmm. Beamer family in Hawaii. Okay. They're like musical royalty. Okay. So my mom got me into this little hula troupe. I was the only little howly girl in there. I had this little blonde Dutch boy, and she always stuck me right in the middle. But I learned to dance the hula when I was 3 years old, and it is like in my soul. Like I still love to dance, and I love to do that. And I remember we danced in front of the governor one time, and it was just it was a fantastic immersion.
I imagine there's some photographs around.
Yes, probably some pretty embarrassing ones. But the funniest thing that I noticed is she would give us these little 45 records to take home and practice with. But I looked at the record, and in the middle it said 49th State Records. And I said, why does this say 49th state? I thought we were the 50th state. Well, Hawaii was supposed to be the 49th state.
Yes.
It was. And so, but then Alaska, something held it up. There were some, like, I think Southern, the story goes that there were some, you know, Southern lawmakers on the national level that didn't want Hawaii to be a state necessarily. And so Alaska kind of like scooped in and became the 49th state. And so this record company was like, hey, 49th. You know, they just decided to leave it because it was kind of funny. And I don't know if that record company still exists. Probably not. But I still have some of those little 45s of the hula songs.
What fun. What a fun memory.
Yeah, it was a great memory.
Does a person growing up in Hawaii, if you're growing up in Honolulu, do you make it out to the rest of the state, or how hard is it to get from island to island?
Well, it's interesting. I'd say most people that grow up on a certain island, probably, especially Oahu, stay mainly on that island. But you go to the other islands maybe for a weekend. Like I remember one time my parents going, hey, we're going to go to Kauai for Thanksgiving weekend. You know, you might do that, you know, or when you're on a sports team, like I remember one time our soccer team like went and played, you know, soccer on Maui. You know, we went and played a bunch of teams
road trip.
And all fourth graders do a trip to the Big Island, and you get to see the volcanoes, and you get to do that because that's like your big year to study like Hawaiiana and you know, the geographical, you know, geological stuff. So
I know that our listeners right now can't see what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And can you describe it to them and why we should pay attention to that word besides your relationship to that institution?
Yes, I'm very proud to have gone to Punahou, and I'm lucky to have gone to Punahou. My mom was actually a teacher there for 40 years.
What subject?
She taught English and language arts.
Cool.
Yes. And she got that job actually before they even moved there. And she got a job before my dad did. And so they hired her sight unseen. And she took the Lurline. They used to have these big ocean liners that would go across from the mainland to Hawaii. And she took the Lurline over and started working at Punahou. And Punahou is the oldest private school west of the Mississippi.
It's private.
Yes, it's a private school.
Interesting.
It was started in 1841 by the missionaries who were there. And there were two reasons. One was that they wanted to educate the Hawaiians, you know, especially the royals, the royalty, the royal families. And they also, you know, for their kids to get educated, they would often have to send them back to the mainland, which was the East Coast. And so they would have have to go all the way. There was no Panama Canal, so they'd have to go way down south, up in it, and they'd often never see them again, you know, in many cases. So they decided, hey, let's set up a preparatory, a kind of a college preparatory school here. And it goes from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade.
And did you do 12 years there?
I did 13.
She had trouble in the fourth grade.
No, count kindergarten. Come on, Jim. Count kindergarten. But no, you're part of the 13-year club. And it's funny, they take a picture of everybody. And when you're a senior, they take a picture of everybody at the old kindergarten playground of anyone who's in the 13-year club there, who have been there the whole time. And so my brother and I were both lucky. We were 13-year club.
13ers.
Yes, we were. We were lucky.
Besides you and your brother being famous graduates from there.
Not so famous.
Who else might have gone there?
Well, I'm proud to say that Barack Obama went there, and he was one of my brother's best friends. I met him when I was in, I would have been in third grade because they were 2 years ahead of me. And my brother was assigned to be his buddy because he was the new student in fifth grade in Mrs. Hefty's class. And so they just became fast friends, and their group of friends. I love those guys. They are still very, very tight, aside from my brother who passed away in 2020.
Right.
Yeah. But those guys are still like my brothers. They look in on me, and they're a real tight-knit group of guys that stayed close for all those years. And so, Obama is just, he's definitely the most famous of the graduates. And it's funny, a lot of people ask me, oh, do you think that, did you see that he would be president? And I would say, I knew he was going to do something special and be a leader, but he was more creative. Like we had this, it was a magazine, a literary magazine that was put out at the end of every school year, and it was called Kawai Ola, and it was all creative writing. And he was the editor of that for a couple of his last 2 years there.
So possibly you thought he might have a literary.
Yes. He was always a good writer, but he's also just a wonderful human being. I always liked him a lot.
So eventually you became landlocked.
That's right.
And how long have you been in Sandpoint?
Well, I've been in Sandpoint, I can't believe it, since 1998.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I moved here from Telluride, Colorado.
Okay. And now when you, I know that you get back to Hawaii.
Yes. Good job, Jim. I like it.
I have to remind myself. It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
You've revisited. Mm-hmm. Coming from, let's say, North Idaho, going mm-hmm. back there, what do you tune into? What's changed? What do you go, I'm home?
Yes.
You know, I mean, can you talk about that experience?
Yes, I can. There, a lot has changed. I mean, Oahu especially, a lot more traffic, a lot of things have gone away that were there, that were special buildings, you know, some of them have been preserved. But what never changes is the ocean and the beaches.
Ah.
And so when you're in there, it's just kind of like, wow, you know, it takes you right back to many, many years ago. But one of the reasons I like to go to other islands, like let's say Molokai, Molokai to me feels like Hawaii 50 years ago when I was growing up there. And so I love to go and find those places that are still really feel real to me, to like old Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, Oahu, there's still plenty of the people also, you know, the people are still so friendly. And the food, oh my gosh. Yeah. That's one thing I seek out immediately when I go to Hawaii is all the favorite food.
What would be typical Hawaiian food?
Well, it's funny because Hawaiian food is like, let's say if you really wanted to eat something that was very native Hawaiian, it would be like lomi, salmon, poi, kalua pork, which is when they put the pig in the emu, and it's served in tea leaves, chicken long rice, you know, those kind of things. But what the food in Hawaii that I grew up with, and you can certainly get that. You can get like a Hawaiian plate. And when we go to our alumni luau's, if you go to a luau, that's the food you're going to get. But Hawaii food is more of a pan Asian. It's a real Asian fusion, because when you grow up in Hawaii, you grow up with all these different cultures. I mean, of course, there's Hawaiian, there's Filipino, there's Japanese, Chinese, there is Portuguese.
My mouth is watering, dear.
There's all
please,
of that.
Please,
I know. It's like, oh. And there's a thing called a plate lunch, though, that is pretty, that everybody loves. And it's like one or two scoops of rice, a scoop of macaroni salad, and then you get like whatever your meat is. Like it can be chicken teriyaki, it can be chicken katsu, it could be fish, it could be, you know, like a hamburger patty. And then you ask for gravy all over, and they put gravy all over it. And that's a plate lunch is like truly a Hawaii thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think my only knowledge of Hawaii comes from books and movies and TV shows. Mm. There's always a TV show about Hawaii on.
That's true.
Think. Yeah. They like to make those. I think of the Native Hawaiian influence, and I think of the military.
Yes.
As well. As the Navy still a strong presence there? Was it growing up?
Yes. Although it was interesting because they have their bases, and you know, so you don't really feel like the military is like all like they're kind of like capsulized, you know, in it, where their bases are. You know, you've got Pearl Harbor, you've got you know, the Hickam Air Force Base, then you've got Kaneohe Marine Base on the other side of Oahu, and there's this one place, though, it's one of the most beautiful beaches on Oahu, is Bellows Beach in Waimanalo, and they let the public come in there on the weekends. It's a beautiful, beautiful beach. But a lot of the military has some pretty nice beaches that are just, you know, that only the military people can be at. But so it doesn't feel like there's any, you don't really feel a military presence per se, I would say.
Our time draws short here. What haven't we asked you about, Dino? Anything we're forgetting to mention about the great state of Hawaii?
Well, I will say one other thing is that I wouldn't say that anybody who grows up in Hawaii takes it for granted necessarily, because you know you're in a special place. I mean, and most people have a deep appreciation for living there and for being from there. I certainly do. One thing that I took for granted was the dark skies. Mm. And you... like I grew up being able to see the Milky Way every night, you know, and I went to a camp on the North Shore of Oahu called Camp Mokulaia, and then I was a counselor there later. And you could see the stars and so many falling stars, and you know, with the naked eye. And I think just being way out there in the middle of the ocean, you know, it's the skies are so dark. And sometimes up here in North Idaho, you can get that too if you head out of town and go on the other side of like Sagal, and you know. But it's I think that those beautiful the beautiful skies and it's and just yeah it's that I kind of took that for granted. I didn't realize that not everybody had that.
Real quickly, one thing I want to say, that when you were talking about the food of Hawaii, and Jack, I'm surprised that you
Hawaii.
Didn't.
Yay!
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Jack, I'm so proud. So proud of you.
It doesn't come natural.
That you, since being a Minnesotan, what was Minnesota's food contribution?
Spam!
I went to the Spam Museum in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yes. And that,
yeah. I've been there.
It's wonderful.
It is. Everyone should go to the Spam Museum.
I agree. Yeah. And if you ask what state consumes more spam than anywhere else in the country, it is.
It's Hawaii. And there let me go. Tell you, you know how you go to the grocery store and you see like just maybe a couple rows of spam there? Mm-hmm. In Hawaii, it's like half an aisle of a
huge
grocery store.
Huge displays. I've been down there. Yeah. Huge displays.
It's gigantic. Yes. Uh-huh. That and Vienna sausage, which is horrible, but you know, I don't know what to say about that.
I have no great love for spam personally, even though it is the pride of
your
my
state meat.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, and aloha is a beautiful word because it means hello, goodbye, and love.
Love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do you want to say it to all of our listeners?
Yeah, and mahalo, which means thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mahalo.
Aloha and mahalo, Dino. Thanks for talking about Hawaii with us.
You bet.
We'll be back with another state in just a few minutes.
Awesome.